It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Many of us living today get so wrapped up in the things of the world that we forget the things of God. Well, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says this, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." What it means here is if you be risen with Christ, that means you've had the new birth. You have eternal life, just as Christ has eternal life. Verse 2 says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." We're to concentrate on the things of God. Now, we still live on the earth, and we still have to take care of things here, but we're not to let those things override or have rule over the things of Christ. Well, we're going to look into the ascension of Christ today, and you'll hear me talk about that a little bit later, how that Christ did ascend back to the Father. He not only came to this earth, he lived a perfect sinless life, he gave his life for us, but now he's on the right hand of God the Father.
Today we continue our study in the life of Christ. This will be lesson number 17 in our study, and we're going to begin today with the ascension of Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." Now we know that as we study the life of Christ, we know that he was born of a virgin. He had no earthly father. The Holy Spirit overshadowed the virgin and she conceived. And the Bible tells us that she conceived and brought forth a son. And that son was Jesus Christ, a miraculous birth. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He walked on this earth performing miracles and doing certain things that would bring men, women to him and receive him as the Messiah. But as we read in the Old Testament, we read about him in Isaiah 53 and verse 3. It says there, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Although he went about in his earthly ministry doing good, healing the sick, raising the dead as such, men rejected him." Men are still rejecting him today. But as we get into our study today about the ascension, we know that as he ascended back to heaven, he's coming once again. Well, he was rejected, he was crucified, and he was buried. And on that third day, as we've studied in our studies, He rose on the third day. He is alive. And the Bible teaches us, as we are going to look in just a few moments, how that he ascended back to the Father. Now, following his resurrection, the Lord Jesus Christ was seen by certain men and women for 40 days. Acts chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion," that's after his crucifixion, death, and burial, resurrection. "He was seen alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." After Christ's resurrection, he was taken up into heaven to await the day of his triumphal return, when his enemies shall be made his footstool, according to Psalm 110 and verse 1. It says there, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Well, Christ was left here. He stayed here for 40 days after his resurrection. Now, I want you to notice with me, if you would, a fourfold purpose of Christ waiting 40 days to ascend to the Father. The first purpose of this 40-day period was to convince the disciples of the reality of the resurrection. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 say this, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. After the resurrection, the Bible makes mention of those who doubted. In Matthew 28, verses 16 and 17, and you can compare this with Luke 24, verses 1 through 11, Mark 16, 9 through 14, and John 20, 24 through 28. Now, some of the disciples doubted. Matthew 28, 16 and 17 says this, Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. In Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 11, it says, Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And once again, look at Mark 16, verses 9 through 14, and you can read how that there were those who believed not. Well, then we remember one particular person that is mentioned specifically in the Word of God, and that would be Thomas. He was but one among many who doubted, according to John chapter 20, verses 24 through 28, and as we've already read, there were many who doubted. It says in John 20, 24 through 28, But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Now, Jesus had appeared to the disciples, 11 of them, the apostles, or 10 of them, and Thomas was not present at that time, but it says there that Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them. That was those apostles who were present when he came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, that's unto Thomas, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Well, the moment Thomas saw the risen Lord, all doubts vanished. John 20:28. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Instantly, doubting Thomas became convinced Thomas. And this 40-day period served its purpose well as Christ appeared to these people. Now, the second purpose of the 40-day period was to communicate truth about his kingdom. The king himself taught the apostles concerning the kingdom. Can you imagine that? The Lord himself taught these people. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Israel's promised kingdom was foremost on the minds of the disciples, as was indicated by their question, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. And their master and teacher supplied them with needed information concerning this vast subject of God's reign on earth. He taught them what was going to take place. Well, the third purpose of the 40-day period was to confirm the promise of His presence. The Lord had made a promise. He said He would not leave them comfortless. And we know this verse and these verses found in John chapter 14. John 14, 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Christ promised His disciples that He would not leave them alone. Christ said He would send another comforter, John 14, 16. He said, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. And though He was received up into heaven, there was a sense in which He was still present, working with His chosen apostles. Mark 16, verses 19 and 20 says, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. By the Lord's frequent resurrection appearances, He was skillfully instructing His beloved disciples concerning the promise of His abiding presence. Matthew 28:20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now these disciples' Lord, their Lord, would leave the disciples physically, but He would come in the person of the Holy Spirit to be present with them forever. And in John 14, 16 through 18, we read of that. Now the fourth purpose of the 40-day period was to command His chosen apostles. Before Christ was taken up into heaven, He gave commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen. Acts chapter 1 and verse 2 says, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen. The solemn commandments given to the disciples comprise what is generally known as the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. May God enable us by His grace to understand exactly what He has told us to do, and to be obedient to these commandments which the Savior has given. Not only did the Lord give these commandments to those who were present at that time, but they carry over into our lives today. Let me ask you, have you trusted Him as your Savior? Have you asked Him by faith to come into your heart, that is, into your innermost being, by saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, I know I'm lost, I can't save myself, I believe You died for me, and You rose again on that third day. Come into my heart. Come into my innermost being. Save me. I receive You as my Lord and my Savior. If you'll do that today, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.